Lord, we're thankful for how you have been praised in song and fellowship, preceded by the study of your word. You're certainly worthy of genuine praise, even children who can exclaim and proclaim that you got up. And then, Lord, to hear young lady and ladies and gentlemen stand unashamedly and obviously moved and empowered by the Spirit of the living God to give you worthy praise. And then, Lord, for our choir, who have given praise indicative of the fact that they had already prepared, not stammering and stumbling through, but to verbally, harmoniously praise your name. And Lord, I don't have words sufficient to proclaim your word apart from the Spirit of the living God. Lord, this is your word, and this is your servant that you have trusted to, first of all, study to show approval of the fact that I've been with you. How I thank you and praise you, Lord, for people in this church who love you, proven by service, worship, and praise, but living lives that demonstrate for those who are unbelievers to see the change that comes in one's life when you come in. So I pray now, Lord, that the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The text today is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 1 through 10. I'm reading from the King James Version, which reads, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy in the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything, For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. I'm talking again today on the subject, the gospel according to us. We are not responsible for what happens elsewhere. We cannot command and demand that some other church stands up and proclaims the word of God as inspired by the Spirit of the living God. It is not our responsibility to walk around and speak negatively toward what somebody else's behavior might be. We cannot argue with someone about how their church may operate. But we are responsible for living by the word of God that has been inspired by the Spirit of God and taught by scholars that have brought to us the word of God under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of the living God. I'm talking today about the gospel according to me, the gospel according to you, who are in the family of God. It is not to be only proclaimed from the pulpit, but demonstrated by our behavior and the way that we live our lives and let our light shine before people that they may see God at work in us. The gospel according to me, the gospel according to you. God did not send the Holy Spirit to live within us for us to be failures. We are empowered by the Spirit of the living God, guided by the word of the living God, that inspired by the Holy Spirit of the living God, written by men and women of God, that we might be able to be who we are supposed to be and do what we are supposed to do. The gospel according to us. Paul says that we are living epistles being read each day. People watch how we behave. People at work watch how we work. Neighbors watch how we act. In company and out of company, we have a charge to keep and a God to glorify, who gave his Son our souls to save and prepare them for the sky, a place called heaven, where plans have been made for a place where the wicked will cease from troubling and the weary will be at rest. There will be celebration, not suffering, joy, not sorrow, because of our relationship with you when this life is over. The gospel according to us. This is the third time and final message from this text, or from this letter from Paul to the church at Thessalonica. I'm sure he and Silas, having been beaten in Philippi, decided, I think I like this beating, let's go to Thessalonica, see if we can get another good one. I don't think that's what they had in mind. But what I do think, even though they had been unjustly imprisoned, beaten, feet in stocks, hand in stock, can't move, can't do anything. But God came through and delivered all of the jailers, saved the jailer, saved the jailer's family. And I really believe what motivated them was that if we go to Thessalonica, he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He can do the same thing that he did in Thessalonica. I mean, where we were at Philippi, he can do the same thing in us if he leads us and inspires us and informs us and equips us to do the same in the next city where we go. I praise God for the fact that they were not ashamed of the gospel, even though they had been embarrassed, ill-treated, and despised. Bleeding, scars, and stripes all over their bodies. And they said, I got to leave here and go tell the good news somewhere else. The gospel, according to us. What do people see when they see us? What do they hear when they listen to us? What do they think when we misbehave and don't act like we are a part of the family of God? Now, I'm going to preach a little bit today, if you don't mind. I know a little bit about family of God, but I know also about a family that also knew God in whose home I was raised. They prayed their prayers. They taught us how to behave. And they made sure that we were exposed to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we didn't have to go to church to see it manifested. We were able to see it manifested right in the family. Can I get a witness in God's house? How they trusted God when things were dark, when money was short. I didn't say money was funny. They didn't have any to be funny. It was short. But they knew that God would supply all of their needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I have been young, but now I am old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. Somebody said in a song, the Lord will make a way somehow. Well, he already got it made. He don't have to figure out some kind of, he don't have to come and find some kind of plan. He already knows the way because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody can come to the Father except by Jesus Christ. And there's no need to try another way. There is no other way because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody can come to the Father unless they come by me. I'm glad today that I can declare that I'm saved by his power divine, and I'm saved to new life sublime. I'm not what I used to be when I was a bad little boy. You know what I'm really trying to say. And not too good a little young man. But I know what Jesus can do in the life of somebody who put their faith and confidence and trust in him. And I know that if we trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and lean not to our own understanding, we'll see what God can do in anybody's life. And I'm glad today to be a proclaimer of that good news. I had the opportunity to be back on home ground again in another church and in another school to be able to lift the name of Jesus Christ. And I tell you, that joy has not gone yet, to go back home and let folk know that God is still using me. Can I get a witness in God's house? How blessed we are to be a part of the family of God. Now, I want to say a few things on this third message, part three of the gospel according to us. And I want you to think about it when I talk about the gospel according to us. I want you to think about the gospel according to yourself. I promise you, he didn't just tell preachers to let our light shine, but he told every believer, every Christian, to let your light shine. And somebody said in a song, this little light that I have, I'm going to let it shine. Yours may not be as bright as somebody else, but let that shine. Can I get a witness? I remember before we got electricity, we had lantern light, lamp light. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about, do you? You all just act like y'all been sophisticated all this time. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all bought coal oil. Hear me, somebody. But things just kept getting brighter and brighter. Y'all know what I'm saying? Got rid of the lantern, got rid of the lamp, and pulled the string. And the light came on. Can I get a witness in God's house? I mean, you know, your light may not be bright as somebody else's light, but just light your lantern if that's the best you can do. If you can't do all of that, get a candle or something. You know what I'm really trying to say. But let your light shine. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to anybody, everybody, anybody, everybody, no matter what your past. Can I get a witness? I mean, he can transform our lives. We don't have to act like somebody that don't know what's going on in life. I mean, he will enable us to be witnesses for him. I want to say about three or four more things, and I will be finished from this message and this series. First of all, when we talk about the report of the church in verse 8, Paul and Silas have already done their witnessing and teaching and preaching, and now they've gone on, but they hear from the church. And here's what they're saying. Beginning with verse number 8, it says, "For you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia, one city, but also in Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak to anything." In other words, the people that they are preached to are now doing the preaching. I know I'm right about this. He said, not only in Macedonia, you went to the neighboring city, not where you live, and people got saved there too. Y'all know what I'm saying? And look what it said. In every place where your faith to God was, is spread abroad. And we ought to be witnesses wherever we are. Amen. It's not only my story to tell, but everybody that's a Christian has a story. And we ought to go tell it everywhere we have an opportunity, but don't say it one way and look another way. If you understand what I'm talking about. But don't talk about good stuff and act bad. You know what I'm trying to say? My parents told me that when I leave home, you better act right. And don't you know that Heavenly Father wants us to act right? As children of God, as witnesses for Christ, He made the difference in our lives. So first of all, the report of the church. I'm glad to get a good report of St. Paul Baptist Church at Shively Heights. I praise God for that. We have not quite arrived at perfection, but I believe we're just getting better all the time. Give God some praise. I really do believe that. We have to know how to love one another and serve the Lord together. We had a workers' meeting and folk act like they want to work. I'll tell you the truth. And I praise God for people that recognize that there's no easy road from here to heaven. But we have a charge to keep and a God to glorify. And I praise God for that. First of all, the report of the church. I want people to know that St. Paul Baptist Church at Shively Heights are Christians who love God and who serve God, who are not braggadocious about what we do, but thank God for the opportunity and thank Him for the power that He gives to us to do what we are doing, and we want to improve upon what we're doing and keep growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, notice not only the report of the church, but the recognition or the reputation of the church in verse 9. "For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you." Now, don't miss this. "How you turn to God from idols to serve the living God." We don't get saved, just go to heaven. But let me say that again. How you turn to God. There are a whole lot of folks going to turn over a new leaf. That ain't going to get it. You can't straighten out your life. First of all, you turn to God. And a whole lot of folks are trying to do better, get rid of some of your bad habits. I recognize that. But that's not how it works. The first thing you do, you turn to God from idols to serve the true and the living God. I know y'all got that because you're smart. I know you got that. Turn to God from evil to serve the true and the living God. Do we have any servants in God's house today? Come on now. Let me remind you of something. Serve the Lord with gladness. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, because the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to every generation. Aren't you glad about that? Look at the little children talking about He got up. You understand what I'm trying to say? And He's already in the process of transforming the lives of children. I mean, some of those over there up here singing, they used to be children. And they sang praises to God. And guess what? They're still singing praises to God, only improved. If you understand what I'm trying to say. We all ought to give witness to what God can do in our lives, and it ought not be ashamed to let it be shown and to use it to the glory of Almighty God. Well, I like that part. I really like that verse. How you turn to God. Anybody here today that have not turned to God and been trying to get rid of habits that are wrong? Things that you don't even like, things that you think about after you have done them and realize that it's not right, what you have to do is turn to God. We can't turn over a leaf. It doesn't work like that. We turn to God. And don't you know nobody can do what God can do? Well, let me say it another way. You know what? Nothing is impossible with God. I don't care how bad somebody been, how wrong somebody been good. I tell you what, he can transform your life just like he did anybody else's life if you just give him an opportunity. But you have to trust him. You have to believe that he can do that. As long as you think that you can't get him to do anything for you, you can't get it done. But I tell you what, when you hear the word of God and when you are moved by the Spirit of God, you can become a part of the living true God and the family of all the rest of us that are already in the family of God. Well, not much longer, all right? First of all, the report of the church, the reputation of the church. And then I want to talk in verse 10 about the return of the Christ. Look what it says. And to wait for the Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Lord have mercy. I'll tell you, I thank God for this part. The return of the Christ. Y'all know that he left and went back to heaven. But he says he's coming back again. And I know that to be the real truth. I don't know the day and I don't know the hour. But this same Jesus that gave his life, went back to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit, is coming back again. The question is, are you ready? I tell you what, whenever he come back, I want him to be able to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. I praise God today for salvation that's available to everybody. If any man would be my disciple, he said, you take up the cross and follow me. I'm so glad and I'm so thankful that he's still the same Savior, even though he's gone away and sent us the Spirit. He's coming back again. And I tell you what, that won't be the time to get ready. We have to get ready while he has not come, because when he's coming back for those that have already accepted him, already have served him, everybody that's in the family of God. He's coming back to receive all of us. I know that I'm right about that. And I would just pray today that anybody that does not know Christ, that you would make up your mind this day that you're going to serve him. I'm about to go to my closure, but I'm so thankful. As I talk about the gospel according to us, let me tell you what it was, how things happened in both Philippi and Thessalonica. It was motivated by faith. And I tell you, we have to have faith in God. We have to trust God and obey him. It was motivated by faith. I don't know how much you trust God, but I tell you what, I thank God for anybody that puts your faith and confidence and trust in God will never be disappointed. I know that many people have disappointed you in your life. I've had many disappointments in my life, but I tell you that one appointment that has never failed. Even when people turn their back on you, he said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. You'll never be alone trying to handle life by yourself. He's always there ready to do what you can never do for yourself. And I'm talking about what I know by myself. I know what he's done in my life. I tell you what, you know what I'm really trying to say? My father used to say, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. But he also said, go work. It ain't just rest by itself. He also said, go work, go in the vineyard and work, and whatever is right, I will pray. So first of all, I am thankful to God for the movement of faith and then motivated by love. I'm so glad that God loved us so much that he gave his son, but he wants me to love so much that I act like I've got the son on my side and got the spirit of the living God living within us. And I'm so glad, motivated by love. I tell you what, God sent his son because he loved us, but he has commanded us to love one another. And I believe I see that activated in this church. I'm glad that you were glad to see Corey come today. I'm glad that you were thankful that he made up his mind to be a part of the family of God. And aren't you glad he's in a good family where people love God and love him and where he can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as he lets his light shine before people, somebody is going to see the change in him and have some influence on their lives. Can't you tell that? Look at him. You can tell that that's the case. I tell you what, every time God saves somebody, he saved them for a purpose. He gives them a charge to keep and a God to glorify. He does not save us just to go to heaven, but to help get somebody else ready to go. That's what he wants us to do. And then I'm closing. It was motivated by love, and it was measured by hope. I'm about ready to finish this message. And I want to finish by saying, in the language of the song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. I know what I'm talking about here. All other ground is sinking sand. We put our trust and confidence in people that will never come through. But I tell you, when you put your trust in the Lord, things are going to be different in your life. Change is going to come in your life, not for worse, but for better, if you put your faith and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. He came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. I'm not talking about live longer than was expected, but have a better life while you do live. Can I get a witness here? Where people can see that there's a transformation going on in your life. Anybody in here not what you used to be? Anybody in here that moving forward to be better than you already are? And are you putting your faith and your confidence in the only one that can change? I am truly glad. We're getting ready to close, Lee, and I see you sitting there, baby. Come on. It's time for us to wrap this up. But I tell you what, wrap it up with a song, because I tell you, I got some joy in my heart. And I want y'all to know that this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. And yes, sir, he does walk with me and talk with me and tell me that I'm his own. And the joy I share, can't you see the joy bubbling up in me? I'm glad I'm a saved Christian. I'm glad I know Jesus. I'm glad I love Jesus. I'm glad he loved me so much that he would die for me. I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. Give him some joy and glory and praise in the house of Almighty God. Give him some praise. And he's worthy. He's worthy. The gospel according to us. The gospel according to us. I'm so thankful to God that we have witnesses and this invitation time in the house of God. God moves you to be a part of this church. The invitation is extended. If you're here without Christ in your life, he's ready to make that change in your life. If you're looking for a church home where we put our best effort to be the church, we're not talking about joining a crowd, but joining a church. Don't quench the Spirit of God if he's leading you. And you have a feeling that God is moving you in this direction, we encourage and invite you to come. The invitation is extended as we sing. Don't miss this opportunity. Continue singing. Find. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. He's calling you. Come on now, let's sing this song. Would you bow your heads for a moment, please? Lord, I know that you have come to seek and to save the lost. Would you tell us, Lord, to live our lives in such a way that they'll be able to see that transformation is progressive. The more we serve, the more like you we become. We know, Lord, that there's an enemy out there whose total desire is to kill, steal, and destroy. We hear of lives being destroyed, murdered, shot down. And we don't know, Lord, who might be the next. People are, because of serious illnesses, hospitalized, moving toward death and burial. Some who know you as Savior and Lord. Some who will go to a place where trouble really is. Oh God, I pray today that somehow you, Holy Spirit, can touch the lives of those whose lives need to be changed. I don't want to try to do this by the words that I speak, but by the movement of your Spirit. Anyone that needs to come for prayer, rededication, church membership, candidates for baptism, having received you as Savior and Lord, as Corey did, on these verses of this song, I pray, God, if you are moving them, that they'll recognize it and come for whatever reason they might be inspired. We pray this in Jesus' name. Don't miss this opportunity. He can do that. Come on, sing that song. Pass you by. everybody moved by the Spirit of God. Sing this chorus again together. Just sing it. Thank you. Would you be seated for a moment, please?